failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God.
Tuned into the Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR, bringing you the best in talk radio with shows that cover topics to feed your mind, body, and soul. And now we present There Is Life After Layoff Radio Show with your host, Allie, and tonight's special guest, Ms. Nicole Steele. So let's get this conversation started. Good evening, Allie.
Good evening, Mel D. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me tonight for what I know is going to be another inspiring episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. Now, remember, I'm not here to point fingers at or place the blame on my former employers or colleagues, but what I am here to do is to face my own truths as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually as I pursue and walk in my life's purpose. Now, along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to explore new and inspiring opportunities to either discover or rediscover and walk in your life's purpose. Now, the goal is that together we will support one another through this journey. And that is why I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please continue to connect and follow us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you'll find me at AllieWard65. And also, please remember to like us on Facebook, and you'll find me on Facebook by searching at There Is Life After Layoff, and Atlanta Life Radio can be found on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio. So on behalf of myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues not only related to the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, I have a couple of quick announcements, and then we'll be ready to get started with our show tonight. As always, if you happen to miss a particular show, you can always catch up on what you've missed through the Atlanta Life Radio website, again at www.atlantaliferadio.com. All you have to do is just go to that website and click on the automatic player box that you will find on the show scheduling page. Just click on the show you want to listen to, and it'll start playing for you automatically. And guess what? We're also on iTunes, so for those of you who are always on the go, all you have to do is search for Atlanta Life Radio under podcasts, and there you will find us. All of our past recorded shows are available now, and after tonight's live show goes off the air, you'll be able to upload it within 30 minutes or less. And so once again, I say thank you for continuing to not only tune into the live broadcast, but also for catching up on what you may have missed. And as you know, this is a listener-driven show, and so that is why I always want to hear from you. So with that said, if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation by making a positive comment, or if you want to ask our guest a question, I invite you to call us. You can call us at 347-324-5246, and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And we will begin taking your calls right after our 30-second break at around 7:30, and we do look forward to hearing from you. So now we're ready to get started with our show tonight. I am so excited about my guest because, you know, as a mother of a young teenage girl, I am concerned that my daughter knows her true worth and value. And, you know, my guest has the same type of concerns about the community of young girls at this same age. And so She has committed her life to helping empower the next generation of young girls as they transition from adolescence to womanhood. So with that, it is my pleasure, and without further ado, that I welcome to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, Ms. Nicole Steele, the founder and executive director of Diamond in the Rough, a national award-winning faith-based non-denominational youth development leadership program. I want to say welcome, Nicole, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Allie, and thank you to the Atlanta Life Radio team as well for allowing me to be a guest tonight.
Absolutely. It's an honor, and it's a pleasure to have you on the show to share with our listeners the wonderful work that you're doing with Diamond in the Rough and the next generation of young ladies. But you know what? Before we get started, I want you to please just take a moment to introduce yourself and help us get to know Nicole Steele.
Well, if I had to summarize who I was in a few words, and I'm not a person of few words, but anyway, I would probably label myself as a wife and mother, as a mentor and a motivator who has committed her life to empowering both women and girls of all ages. I'm a native of Ann Arbor, Michigan, and I have been in the South for a long time, so I guess I might qualify as an official Georgia peach because I've been here for so long. But I am blessed to be at a point in my life where I can truly say that I'm living my purpose, and I'm so grateful to wake up every day and to be able to know that I'm living my life on purpose, with purpose.
Wow, that's awesome. That is so great. And as you know, the show, of course, is There Is Life After Layoff. So I always want to ask our guests, do you know anyone or have you ever been affected or impacted by a layoff, whether it has been self-imposed or forced? And if so, tell us about that.
Well, yeah, I have been affected. I've of course, in my close to 45 years, family members have been affected. But I've personally been affected over my years of employment. Most recently, being, as you said, a self-imposed layoff laying yourself off.
Right.
That is truly my story.
Okay.
Like many, I had a clear understanding of my purpose at a very young age. In fact, my heart said youth and education and empowering young people. I can date that back as early as maybe 10th grade in high school.
Really? Wow.
But like many, I said, oh, that sounds great. However, I want to make money.
Right,
and
right,
so
right.
I kind of, silenced that voice, kind of tried to press it down, and I pursued a degree in business. Mm. And I had aspirations to be, multimillionaire, businesswoman, world traveler, the whole
right.
nine.
Right.
And that became my obsession. And I graduated from Alabama A&M University with a business degree. I moved to Atlanta, and I began climbing the corporate ladder. And as a young professional, found myself very successful, owning my first property as young as 24,
wow.
traveling the world, just doing things.
Okay.
And however, that longing to do what God had called me to do never left.
Okay. Wow.
And I thought for a long time, well, I'll just fill this void through things like volunteering, and volunteerism is important.
Right.
So I would plug into programs like Junior Achievements, volunteering with their program. And I, when I moved to Atlanta, I started a youth program, a mentoring program in conjunction with the Boys and Girls Club with some friends.
Okay.
And thought that would do it. But the longing never went away.
Wow.
And so finally I realized I needed to take off my running shoes and put them in the closet and really listen to what God, had called me to do. Looking at
right.
my life, I am a product of a single-parent household. And,
okay.
and he began to impress on me that it was at a point in my life where I needed to pay it forward and I needed to do for the next generation what
okay.
had been done to me, and
wow.
for me.
Wow.
And so I laid myself off. I walked away from
the corporate grind, and many people around me thought I was wacky and crazy. And
right.
My last corporate job, just to give you an idea, was a computer analyst working for a subsidiary of Delta Airlines. So, you know, in addition to the travel perks, you know, the financial perks were great too. But, you know, at some point in everybody's life, they have to really define what success looks like and what significance looks like. And so looking back, that was, quite a few. Maybe we might be on year 15, actually, of leaving corporate America. And while it's been the hardest work, it's also been the most rewarding work, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Wow. So, I mean, you said that you made that decision to walk away, but was there a defining moment? Was there a situation or circumstance where you just said, you know what, you mentioned that you had to take off the running shoes. What was that one thing that you can remember that just said, okay, I just got to quit?
Well, I don't know if I would say it was one particular thing or just a combination of things. Seeing the impact that me and many of the women that I was walking with were able to make volunteering, I mean, to really see the lives of young people impacted, just with us volunteering here and there, was life-changing. I mean, to see girls' lives truly transform and to see girls' eyes opened and, you know, seeing them really get a true understanding of who and whose they were was life-changing. It helped me realize that it was so much bigger than me. Oftentimes we feel like, you know, when whatever our gifts and talents are, God gives us gifts and talents to be given away.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we think it's about us and when I get comfortable and what will people think and how, you know, but it's not for us. It's for others. Gifts are to be given. And so seeing the impact that I was and other women were able to make with just a small contribution, you know, then comes the I won't really call it conviction, but really the awakening. So often people are wondering, what is my purpose? What is my purpose? I remember going through a phase and reading books like The Purpose-Driven Life. That was a very impactful book in my life. And seeing that as well as my spiritual walk, and just it was a combination of things. Surrounded myself with like-minded people who were dreamers and who believed, and you know, cutting off some people because they are dream, you know, givers and dream killers. And so, you know, making sure that my circle, even though it was getting smaller, was surrounded with people who would make my dream leap in my belly. You know, it was just a combination of things. And I don't take any of it for granted, but I can't really pinpoint one thing.
Well, you know, with me, I actually started praying and asking God to show me my purpose because I knew that where I was wasn't where I was supposed to be. And that's when he decided to show me in the form of a layoff, you know. No, not I did not pray to get laid off, but that was the way that he knew that was going to get me into walking in my purpose. So I definitely understand. And that's when he started showing me my gifts, which was to write and to use, you know, my voice and my story and my truth and transparency. So I definitely get what you're saying. So why do you feel, and I'm sure you do feel, that it's really urgent for individuals to discover or walk in their life's purpose?
Well, that is something that I'm always stressing to people because I understand, especially when you're in the grind of the day-to-day survival, paying bills, raising a family, people often put their dreams and God's purpose on the shelf, waiting for that perfect time. It may be when the kids get older, when I pay off these bills, when I pay off my house, when, you know, it's always when. But what I try and stress to people is there never will be a perfect time.
Right, exactly.
You know, that will never happen.
Right.
And going back to the gifts and talents being for people other than you, you know, people other than yourself, mm-hmm. there is an urgency because there are people on the other side who are waiting for you to get into position.
Mm, that's good.
For instance, with me working with young girls and with women,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to get into position.
Yes.
And as a result of me getting into position, it allowed 75 of the most phenomenal volunteers and powerful, passionate women to get into position who serve with us as mentors and special events coordinators and come out and support the work that we do. Many of the parents have found their place in and through our ministry.
Wow.
But had I not gotten into position,
right.
Not to say God's dream, I mean, he's going to fulfill it either way.
Right, 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 right.
But there were so many people who are connected to me being obedient. And so for that, there's an urgency. When you think about the population, for instance, that we serve,
mm-hmm.
4 to 18 years of age is who Diamond in the Rough serves.
Okay.
So when you think about girls, they're only going to be in that bracket for a short period of time.
Exactly.
And so for me, there's an urgency, but it's no different from the person who's been called to write and author books or
mm-hmm.
the person who's been called to serve in a hospice center or to start a small business or whatever it is that you've been called to. It's
right.
always bigger than you. So there is a sense of urgency because until you get into position,
mm-hmm.
the people who you will serve cannot be blessed.
That's good right there. You never really think about the people that you being obedient, how that impacts them. So that's very important. I'm glad that you brought that up because you just don't think about that. And there are other people who are counting on you, and you really don't know it, but they are.
Mm-hmm.
To get in position. So, by the way, congratulations to you on celebrating 12 years with your program, Diamond in the Rough. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And can you just share with us a little bit about this wonderful program that you have?
Well, yes, I'd love to. as you mentioned, Diamond in the Rough is a faith-based mentoring and leadership program for girls. As I mentioned, it serves girls ages 4 to 18, and we provide group mentoring, leadership training, career coaching, and family enrichment activities. We have been serving girls here in the metro Atlanta area with a focus right now in the Gwinnett County area, though girls come from all over the metro Atlanta area. But to date, we've served close to 5,000 youth and families with programs and services. We partner with schools, churches, community centers, just pretty much wherever the kids are. Our program is designed to go in and again, to help girls do what we're talking about. We want to help girls find their voice, and we want to help point girls to their purpose. Our belief is once a girl understands who and whose she is,
mm-hmm.
it's a game changer. It affects
yes.
her relationships, her friendships, and it affects her goals. And
yes.
if we can help young people, be it through mentoring and having them see women who are transparent and passionate about helping them get further faster, or if it's through programs like our Crown's College and Career Component or our leadership programs, whatever it is, if we can help point them to purpose and, again, help them get further faster so they don't have to go the same route I did and waste
right.
a lot of time and, in many instances, money, if they
right.
can get
right.
plugged in and be exposed to women who are doing things. Oftentimes, young people just do what their parents did or
yeah.
or what their teachers or somebody else puts on them. Oh, you'll be good at this. And so they
mm-hmm.
they plot out their whole life based on somebody else's dream. But if we can get our young girls to dream for themselves
yes.
and to really begin to analyze what are your gifts and talents
exactly.
and what does that look like in terms of a career and in terms of a business or, you know, education, what does that look like, and show them a mirror
mm.
of somebody doing that,
mm-hmm.
and then to get people in the background who are cheering for them and who are going to help show them the way. That's what we do at Diamond in the Rough, as well as, you know, we do camps and conferences and summits and all kinds of things for families. We do a lot of family enrichment activities like our annual father-daughter dance and mother-daughter tea because we understand part of the challenge comes with an attack that's on our families.
Yes,
so,
absolutely.
So, you know, I have a phrase that I've coined long ago that says, broken babies grow up to become broken ladies.
Oh,
and
that's so powerful.
If, you know, we're all about prevention in Diamond in the Rough. If we can catch the girls and help them and partner with their families on the front end, then they'll grow up to be confident, independent, you know, well-qualified world changers as adults. But we're also there to provide support for families who may just need a little encouragement or support as well. So that's what we do at Diamond in the Rough.
I'm curious, where did the name come from? That's a wonderful name, and it's a perfect name. Where did that come from? What was the inspiration for that?
Well, like everything, it was God-inspired. You know, when I think about the process of a diamond, people love diamonds. I love diamonds. All my girls love diamonds.
Exactly.
And we see them in the showcases at the mall and in the jewelry store, and they're always shining with brilliance. But we don't think about the process that it took to get into that case, or to get, you know, on the floor of that jewelry store.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you think about a rough diamond, if any of your listeners have ever seen a rough diamond,
mm-hmm.
it can be often overlooked. I mean, in its rough state, you know,
people walk past
it, you know, would maybe kick it if it was on the ground. But through patience and polishing and persistence, that rough diamond can be transformed into a bright, beautiful, brilliant gem. And that's what each one of our lives are. I am the ultimate diamond in the rough, you know, and I'm still a work in progress. So it's a constant thing that we're doing. But if we can look at this generation of young people and see them, see the hope and the possibilities in them, instead of like many just saying, wow, this generation is a lost cause, they're going to hell in a handbasket. No, that's what the enemy wants you to believe. But I believe this generation is by far the greatest generation that we've ever seen, but it's going to take us to see that potential in them. And so that's kind of the premise for the whole Diamond in the Rough thing, because we're in the business of transforming lives.
Wow, that's powerful. That is so powerful. And you're so right, because I've talked about it so many times about, you know, generational strongholds. They continue to perpetuate themselves throughout the years and throughout families. And it takes one person or a couple of people to just kind of say, enough, you know, when is this going to stop? And, you know, so that's awesome what you're doing with that. I'm interested in knowing, what is the most important lesson that you want your participants to walk away from Diamond in the Rough when they've gone through your program? What is it, the ultimate goal that you want them to walk away from the program with?
I think one of the biggest things is understanding their value and worth. We live in a society that is, I mean, really, with just this generation, unlike any other, is bombarded with more messages and images, especially of young women. We live in a world that tells girls, gives them the message that you are only worth your value is based on the sum of your body parts. You know, your value is based on the names that you wear on your bottom or on your shoes, and you know, all of these external things. Not to even begin to speak about all of the distractions that are out there. And technology, I love technology. Technology is wonderful. However, it can also be detrimental. And so if we can help young girls really understand, going back to who and whose they are, if they can understand their value and their worth, and to me, that's just truly a game changer. It is. If they can find their voice and stand for what they believe, but knowing that they were created for a purpose, despite how they got here, no matter what their circumstances, if their parents were together, if it was a one-night stand, none of that matters. What matters is that God created you. He knitted you together in your mother's womb, and he created you for a purpose. We can help them tune into that and tune out all of the other voices that are out here that are saying things that are contrary. Mm-hmm. That's what we want girls to walk away with. It's not to say that their journey won't be without challenge.
Right.
But they'll be more equipped to recognize the counterfeit. You know what I mean?
That's good.
As
right
they
there.
Go through life, they'll be more equipped to stand strong. And even if that means they have to stand alone, they'll be more inclined to make positive choices. Because they understand that their life is not just focused on where they are, but they're going somewhere. They're on a journey. They're on, you know, they have a destiny in it and a destination that God has for them. If we can help them grasp that at a young age, we have no doubt that they will succeed. They will succeed.
Absolutely. I tell my daughter that all the time, and I tell her, I said, you know, pray for a spirit of discernment. That you are able to discern people and in their hearts and their motives towards you and discern situations. It's so important to have a good spirit of discernment. So I have that open dialogue with her, and it does start, and I think you'll probably agree with this, parents having that open dialogue with their children and having these tough conversations and not trying to just be your child's friend, you know, all the time, and that, you know, having the conversations that nobody else wants to have with them.
That's
you
right.
know, don't you agree with that?
I do, and it's a constant conversation. I have two daughters. I'm blessed. My husband and I, we have a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old, and we're having conversations with my 6-year-old. It has been
wow.
most her life, as long as she's been able to comprehend. We talk, of course, at her level,
right?
But it's a constant conversation. So that's part of it as well. Some parents think whether it's, you know, real issues, whether it's, you know, relationships or sex or dating or whatever, that we're going to sit down and have the talk. Well, no, there is no such thing as the talk.
The
it's
talk,
a constant
right.
conversation
right.
that you need to, make sure the dialogue remains open. Mm-hmm. But also as parents, we have to lead by example.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that as parents we have to be perfect, because I'm the first one to say I fall short there.
Yeah.
But we have to lead by example to the best of our ability. And that even means with things like our careers and our purpose, we have to lead the way. We have to be courageous for our children's sake, because they're watching. If
yeah.
we tell our children, you can be anything you want to be, you can, you know, the sky is the limit, but they see us holding on and stagnant and unhappy, and you know, and I do understand, you know, we have to, when we bring kids into the world, of course our first responsibility is to take care of them and provide for them,
right.
But outside of that, are our kids seeing us being courageous? Are they
yeah.
seeing us take risks? Are they seeing us pursue our dreams and our passions? Or are they seeing us bogged down by life, hating our jobs, hating our situations, but not being willing to do whatever it takes to change our situations?
Wow, that's,
you know,
good. That's very good.
Yeah.
And you know what? God, I say this a lot, God does not expect perfection, but he does expect progress. So
yeah.
I tell my kids that all the time. And that's one of the number one reasons why I continue to do what I'm doing, because although mommy may have gotten laid off from her job, that did not stop me. That did not keep me stuck in a negative circumstance. I continue to plug, you know, push forward each day, and I'm, you know, in the process of writing my first book. And I want my kids to know that although life may have thrown lemons at me, I'm going to make some lemonade with it. I'm going to
That's
write
right.
this book. You know, I'm
That's
going to
right.
continue to be a blessing to other people, even though I may have, you know, experienced this negative life circumstance. I can still bless somebody else, you know.
Right.
And when you're doing that and you're making other people feel good, you can't be unhappy. I just don't think that's possible. When you're blessing other people, you can't help but feel good about that. So,
right.
you know. But you know what, Nicole, at this point in time, I think what we're going to do is we're going to pause, we're going to take a short station break, and then when we return, we'll continue with this powerful conversation. And if we have any callers, we'll, you know, entertain those. So just hang in there with me for a minute.
Okay.
I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined by Nicole Steele, the founder and executive director of Diamond in the Rough Youth Development Program. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of.
This is Mel D, and on behalf of the Atlanta Life Radio team, we thank all of our faithful listeners for tuning in. If this is your first time joining us, we thank you. Please like us on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio Station, WALR. Share us with a friend, and please come back. A special thank you to all of our financial sponsors, because without your financial support, this show would not be made possible. If you are interested in becoming a financial sponsor or would like to learn how to advertise with us, please send our station manager an email, complete with your contact information, to info@atlantaliferadio.com. Again, send an email, complete with your contact information, to info@atlantaliferadio.com. And now we return back to our program. Allie?
All right. Thanks, Mel D. We're back. And if you're just joining us, welcome. You're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm your host, Allie. And we encourage you to join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You can call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into our on-air host queue. So before the break, we were having an awesome conversation with my very special guest tonight, Ms. Nicole Steele. And so I want to continue that conversation, Nicole. I want to ask you, what do you think can be some of the negative effects of us not sowing into the lives of these young girls during this transitional time of their growing up?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you.
It's a loaded question, huh?
It is. Because we have to realize it doesn't matter if we have daughters or if our daughters are grown or if we don't have children at all. Everybody has a part to play. The business community, the educational system, government has a part to play. Parents truly have an important part to play. The community. You know, we grew up in a time where there was a village where the neighbor could speak into me and chastise me and spank me if they needed to. You know, we've gotten so far away from that. But everybody has a part to play. And the danger is if we do not invest on the front end as a society, we will pay on the back end. And that looks like a whole lot of different ways. You know, we're gonna pay with more facilities to house criminals. We're going to pay with taxes to help teen mothers and families who are living beneath, you know, their means. We're gonna pay with increased crime. We're gonna pay with just, you know, more young people being victims of human trafficking. We're going to pay with more mental illness. I mean, you just go, the list goes on, and people say, well, but I don't have any daughters, but you have some, you have a part to play. For some, it might be just working in their home and sowing into their own family and empowering the young people that are in their lives, their extended family. For others, it may be volunteering. For some, it may be financially supporting programs that are on the front line, like Diamond in the Rough and a lot of the other great programs. For others, prayer. Prayer is huge. Everybody should be praying for this generation of people.
Right.
There's power in prayer. So instead of putting our lips on our young people, we need to be praying and interceding for our children. So we're really at a crossroads, in my opinion, because when I see, even in the 12 years that we've had Diamond in the Rough, the challenges facing our young girls and young people in general have just escalated.
Yes.
I mean, we have more young people, and people think, oftentimes people will say, well, does Diamond in the Rough serve at-risk girls? Well, we always have to educate people and let them know that all of our kids are at risk.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
We have young people in our program who are from six-figure income family households that, again, are honor students, world travelers, sitting on advisory boards in the community. But we also have young ladies in our program who may be, you know, perhaps they're being raised by a grandparent or a foster parent, or maybe they've been referred to us by a probation officer or a judge who said, you know, you're not really a bad kid. You've just been caught up with the wrong people, but there's hope. And so they'll get them involved in a program hoping that a child can build their confidence and their social skills. So we've got the full gamut in Diamond in the Rough. The one thing all the girls have in common is that they all have an interest and desire to participate, which is a requirement. It's not the kind of program where, you know, a parent's going to drag their child kicking and screaming and say, I'm going to sign you up for this. You know, it's not that kind of party. But if a girl has an interest and desire to participate, then, you know, she comes in with an open heart, which is the first step. And getting in an environment where she can learn, an environment that's drama-free, an environment that matches her with young girls, her peers that are her same age, surrounding her with a team of mentors who are pouring into her life, and all of that, you know, extended things, all the things that we offer to the family as a whole, free workshops for parents and enrichment activities and all of that, you know, it can be life-changing. So I forgot what your question is, sweetie. But
you were on a roll, but you know what? You know, we were talking about the negative effects, but, you know, you said so much. Especially with regards to the village mentality, because I tell my kids all the time it does take a village. And so she knows that if there's something that she can't come and talk to her dad and I about, she has godparents, she has aunts and uncles who I tell her, I said, you know what, I don't care, or I don't mind, not that I don't care, but I don't mind if you go talk to them about something, because I am so sure that they're going to, the advice that they give you is going to be in keeping with the beliefs and values that her dad and I are trying to instill into her. So I you know, urge her to go to those people. And I tell her friends, I know who her friends are, and I even told one of her young friends, you know, consider me part of your village. She's not my child, but she's a friend of my daughter, so she's around my daughter. And I said, if you need a ride to go to, you know, some study sessions or what, ask me. I don't mind doing it. I consider myself part of her village, you know. So like you said, we all have a responsibility, and it may not be your child, but what other child can you affect in that? So I applaud you for that, you know, pulling in the community into this, because it does take a village.
It does. And, you know, Allie, it's interesting because the reality is our young people, they're going to have questions. They're inquisitive.
Yeah.
They're at an age, you know, it doesn't matter how young or old, kids have questions.
Yes, they do.
And what parents need to do and families need to do is ensure that they do their due diligence in putting people around, like you said, who echo your values and your morals. So that when your daughter or even your son, if for those that have sons, when they inquire, the people are echoing what mom and dad are hopefully saying and not saying something way off. Or, you know, it's amazing, even for my own children. I laugh because with my 13-year-old, you know, she's at that age and, you know, if she doesn't really like what mommy and daddy said, she's going to bounce it off of auntie and grandma and granddaddy.
Somebody
she's
on her side, right?
If there is a little hole, a little any kind of leeway, is anybody going to help a sister out? And it's so funny because time after time, she'll just, it's sealed tight. And, you know, it's not that they shut her down. They have open lines of communication and, you know, keeping confidence, what she says, of course, unless she's talking real crazy. But, you know, they do that. But it's a blessing and it's a reassurance to me and my husband that, you know, she knows she can count on these people who love her, who want to see the best, you know, and she trusts them. And we have allowed her to develop those relationships with these caring adults in her life.
Right, that's awesome.
In addition to her mentors and so on and so forth, yes.
That's very important. You know what? I believe that we have a caller, Nicole.
Okay.
Hello. You are on the air with Allie and my special guest, Nicole Steele. What is your question or comment?
Well, good afternoon, Allie and Ms. Steele. This is Shara Marshall with Changing Faces Makeup Artistry.
Good afternoon, Shara.
And you know what? I am just so enjoying this conversation that's going on, this dialogue, because I know back in the day, you know, we say that it takes a village to raise, you know, mm-hmm. our kids. And if someone would have just pushed that on even further in my family, mm-hmm. I think a lot of the young ladies in my family would not have gotten so lost. I appreciate you, Allie, and I appreciate the fact that you incorporate your children in these types of conversation. And Ms. Steele, oh, my God, you are a diamond in the rough, for real. I'm just so inspired just listening to you. And, you know, God brought me to Romans 11 and 29, and it says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They're unchangeable. You know, whatever God gives to us as our gift, we have to use it. And I just thank God for you and the gift that he has given you and changing, you know, you being a world changer in the lives of the worlds of these young ladies out here. I just think you're doing a phenomenal job, and I am so truly impressed.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I wonder, you know, you said that you, you know, you go to the churches and community centers and all of that stuff, and these young ladies, that's a way for them to get a hold of you, correct?
That is one way. I mean, we do have community-based programs, and we work with schools. In addition to that, I also do confidence coaching one-on-one mm-hmm. with both girls and families. So I do have clients that may not be in the area, maybe in other places in the country, but they just need to, you know, that little push, that little word of encouragement, that accountability. And so mm-hmm. I also do confidence coaching as well. But we have websites. You know, there's a website for Diamond in the Rough, which is www.ditr.org, which is simply the initials for Diamond in the Rough, where people mm-hmm. can learn about our organization. And then my mm-hmm. personal website, where they can learn about coaching as well as some of the things that we do with women, they can find all of that information at A Priceless Gem, and that's GEM, apricelessgem.com. And that has links to Diamond in the Rough, to the coaching and consulting business that I have, and the confidence coaching services.
That is so awesome and so amazing. And I see you have your kids involved, you know, as a part of the process, and they must be awfully proud of you for being that role model.
They tell me every now and then. Every now and then, they'll let a sister know. They appreciate me.
and that's great, because we need to listen to our kids. We need to hear what they're saying. And, you know, we need to aspire more women to be great role models for our daughters, especially, you know, because times are changing so much. And if we lose that village, we lose that village to all of this technology and the internet. And, you know, you mentioned something about the sex trafficking and stuff that's it's so huge out here. And it's scary. Yeah. You know, and we need more Nicole Steeles out here. We definitely do.
Oh, thank you, Shara.
Thank you. And that calls for people to get into position, because the work that we do at Diamond in the Rough, I tell you, I can't take credit for all of it. We have, as I mentioned before, a dynamic team of women who have truly just, you know, put their heels down and they make it possible. I mean, we've got women with our program who have volunteered with us for some as many as 9 to 10 years.
Wow.
Which is unheard of. But it's because they have found their passion and they do it, and they do it in excellence. I mean, we have a strenuous process, you know, with the people that we bring on board, because it is such important work. But, you know, it's really, I'm humbled that God would use me, but whether it's through programs like ours or whatever God has called us to do, we need to do it in excellence to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
So it brings him glory. And he just wants us to take one step, you know, one step in front of the other. And where he guides, he provides. And I'm a true testimony to that.
Absolutely.
He's faithful.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, thank you for joining the conversation, Shaw. Thank you for your wonderful comments. Thank you.
Oh, you're so very welcome. You guys have a great evening. I'm going to finish listening in on the conversation. I'm taking notes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shaw.
You're welcome, Nicole. You have a great evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right. And, Nicole, I wanted you to talk a little bit about gem makers, because not only are you the CEO, you know, the executive director and founder of DITR, but you're also president of Gem Makers. So can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yes, I surely will. As I mentioned, you know, I'm clear that not only has God called me to empower young girls, but over the years I've seen a tremendous need with women. And oftentimes women already know, but they just need to be encouraged and be surrounded by other women who are living their lives on purpose. So through Gem Makers, me and my partner, Dion Parker, provide events. We call them brilliant brunches that bring like-minded women together, and we'll speak into their lives and, you know, provide resources and tools for them to take it further. We do royal retreats, overnight events for women. We do webinars and coaching and consulting, because I found that there's a lot of people who have a dream, have a passion, and often I get a lot of calls from people who desire to start a youth program.
Okay.
And I understand that it doesn't matter how much money Diamond in the Rough has, how many volunteers we ever were able to get. The reality is our organization could never serve all of the girls who are in need in our community. Our organization every year operates with a waiting list. And people go, oh, that's great. But it's not, because that means that there are girls out there who, again, if there's a sense of urgency. We only have a small window of opportunity to serve these young people.
Right.
So if I can help someone pursue their passion and their purpose, whether it's to start a youth program or to start a business that will become successful, that can help support grassroots nonprofit organizations, or if I can help a woman and just encourage and support her to write a book. I've authored two books, self-published. And, you know, whatever it is, if I can help prod and support and encourage my sisters,
right.
That's what I desire to do, and that's what my partner, Dion Parker, desires to do.
Okay.
So we do just a wide variety of things that are really geared towards women and parents and small business owners, and really, again, just really focused on what we've been talking about, and that's getting them in position to walk in their purpose, whatever that is.
And you know what? That should be applauded, because not only are you realizing that, okay, I can't possibly serve the entire community of young women who may need my services, but then you go out and you empower somebody else to do it, which really dispels that crab in a barrel mentality that I think a lot of companies have and a lot of business owners may have, or people. There's enough out there. God has enough for all of us to be blessed. So, you know, that should really be applauded, and thank you for doing that and recognizing that. So, you know, you're giving your gift, like you said, you're giving away your gift to someone else so that they can then, in turn, bless, you know, someone who maybe you might not be able to reach.
Right.
Which is good, which is excellent. So
tell
us how we can contact you for services, or if there's a young woman, a mom listening who may want to try to get on that waiting list for a Diamond in the Rough, how can we contact you and learn some more about the program and about your services?
Well, for those that have daughters or maybe are interested in volunteering or even supporting our program financially, sponsoring a child or what have you, again, they can visit www.ditr.org or they can contact us by phone at 678-376-9676. And for individuals who want to plug in on the other side of the house with Gym Makers, mm-hmm. they can visit gymmakers.org, and that's GEMMAKERS.org, where they can learn about, again, our webinars, our coaching and consulting services, and what have you. And then my personal website, which kind of combines it all, so if you can't remember either one of those, you can always visit apricelessgym.com, which has links to all of the sites that I mentioned, and also information on our confidence coaching services and what have you. So
okay.
Those are the three ways that people can connect with us.
Absolutely. Do you have any upcoming events through Gem Makers or Diamond in the Rough or anything like that that you can share with us?
Yes, we do. We actually have a couple things coming up. We have Diamond in the Rough. We have our annual father-daughter dance. For families that are tuning in, be it fathers, grandfathers, big brothers want to dust off those dancing shoes and come on out. That event is scheduled for the end of this month, February 27th. The final deadline to purchase tickets is this week. Actually, I think it's Wednesday. So your listeners, those that are based in Metro Atlanta, would want to plug in as soon as possible and come on out for that. We also have some other events. People can actually send us their contact information or sign up to be added to our Diamond in the Rough communications list through our website, and we can keep them in the loop of all kinds of activities. On the Gym Maker side, we have our next webinar. We have two webinars coming up. One is in March, and it's called Girl, Get Your Swag Back.
And all right now.
It's a six-week series. It is a virtual course that takes place over 6 weeks. The course itself is based on a book by my partner, Dion Parker, called Girl, Get Your Swag Back.
Mm-hmm.
And SWAG is an acronym for self-confidence, your walk with God, your attitude of gratitude, and your gifts and talents.
Oh,
and she shares through her book her incredible testimony of survival at the hands of a domestic violence situation. Not a situation she was in, but she was the victim of a domestic violence situation her sister was involved in. So the book is incredible. But the whole SWAG concept and what we do with the sessions, I mean, people who've lost their job can feel like they've lost their swag. Where did my confidence go? Because I put all of put my identity in my job and my title. And so now when that's taken from me by whatever the circumstances are, now I've lost myself. I've lost my confidence. I've kind of turned my back on God. I've, you know, forgotten about the gifts and talents that he's given me. And so the six-week series is coming up in March, and we're getting people registered for that.
Okay.
And then the next month, I think in late April, we are doing a series called So You Want to Start a Youth Program, which is another webinar. So for those that feel that they have been called, they have that little tugging in their heart, and they want to start a youth program or a nonprofit organization, it's a four-week series, again, virtual, that people can plug into, and we'll help begin to walk them through that process. So those are a few things that are right around the corner on both sides of the house.
All right. That's awesome. And you know what, guys? Hey, we're going to try to post. I'm going to get with you, Nicole, after the show, and I'm going to get all this information, and I'm going to post it on my blog site for you so that people link to that and get involved with those wonderful opportunities there. And so as we get ready to close out another powerful episode, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us tonight, and you've been such a blessing to the next generation of young girls in the community. And you know, in the community as a whole. So thank you for the seeds that you're sowing into the world. Thank you for joining me this evening.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, you know, as I am always accustomed to doing, I want to take a moment to relate our show to Scripture. And so the one Scripture that came immediately to mind came from Proverbs, which is Proverbs 22:6, in which Solomon, he was giving advice to parents to train a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not turn from it. Okay, so you know, raising and training a child within this particular context in Proverbs means that he was talking about training a child as it relates to Scripture. It all begins and ends with Scripture and bringing a child to the Word of God, okay? And we all know that children are a reward from God, and so with them being a reward in our lives, we are to raise them and talk to them and instruct them on finding and applying the Word of God in their lives. And with that, guess what? That includes discipline sometimes. And we have to understand and know that we can't be our children's friend. We have a responsibility to raise them, to be obedient people. And so with that, of course, comes discipline. Make sure that the discipline matches the offense. Most kids who are raised in a home, and studies show, without discipline, they end up growing up feeling that they're unloved, because most kids realize at a young age that discipline is rooted in love, okay? So parents, we have been given the privilege of being stewards of our children's lives for just a very short period of time. So we need to teach and train them. The teaching and training that we provide for them now is going to be eternal. So what kind of teaching and training are you going to provide for your children that's going to last throughout their lifetime? So according to the promise of Proverbs, a child who is diligently trained in the way that he should go will remain true to that way in this life and reap its rewards in the next life, okay? So think about that, chew on that, and study that word in Proverbs. And on behalf of There's Life After Layoff Radio, we say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey, and we do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us. And so until next time, on behalf of Mel D, myself, and the entire There Is Life After Layoff Radio team, we say thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you. and the promise. Yet we must trust and believe. For the only freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.